Let's sit. Let's learn. Let's evolve. Let's talk.
No more whispering in our mind.
Today is Let's Talk Black Excellence with your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from today and to pay respects to their elders past and present. Shout out to all the TOs right across the country where our program goes out to. It's great to have your company and welcome to Friday's edition of Let's Talk Black Excellence for another week. It's great to have your company. And I hope everyone had a deadly NAIDOC week as well. Today I'm coming to you from the offices of Q Music in the Valley here in Brisbane, where I'm currently working on secondment, assisting with the annual Big Sound Music Conference, and where my guest today is also employed. She's an award-winning singer-songwriter and now First Nations Music Officer for Q Music. Sue Ray, welcome to the show, Sue.
Hello, thanks for having me.
As we always do, we start with your mob, your country.
Yeah, I'm a proud Gamilaroi woman. I'm currently living in Toowoomba and working in Brisbane on, Turrbal country, yeah.
How are you finding this new role? I want to get in depth with that in a little bit, but, you know, this is something a little bit different for you working in this kind of environment.
Yeah, it's been about 15 years since I've worked in an office-type situation. But I wouldn't call Q Music your typical office. It's definitely a lot more creative and exciting and more impactful. I think it's the most interesting job I think I've ever had.
That's good. I guess you want to know where your love of music come from. Where did you, do you remember a time when you know?
I think it's in my DNA, obviously, comes through both sides of my family. My dad is a musician by trade and he had a musical instrument store, so I grew up hanging out there every day as a kid and watching him fix guitars and listen to people playing piano and fiddle, and yeah. Dad was in a band and in the Toowoomba Country Music Club. Grew up going to that every week, so big on country music as a kid. And then naturally rebelled against my parents and my teens and got more into, it was the 90s. It was heavy metal and grunge and the feminist music movement of the 90s. Yes. And from there, just studied music. It's all I ever knew, all I ever felt I wanted to do. And every time I've tried to stray from that and get a, quote-unquote real job, it hasn't worked well for me.
Yeah.
I always end up going back to performing until eventually it ended up becoming my sole income source. So it's after 20 years in the industry, I finally got to a point where I could charge enough money to start making a living and have been doing that. And then this opportunity came up and I couldn't say no.
I wouldn't call your music straight up country. There's lots of different parts in there. Definitely blues, and you play the harp up there as well when you're playing guitar. Yeah. But how do you see yourself fitting in? Where do you see the Sue Ray sound?
It's so hard to quantify it. I know people like to put you in a box because it's easier for them to, describe you or talk about you or put you on playlists, what have you. But I guess the one thing that's been consistent about me is that I'm inconsistent. I think that my tastes vary dramatically. I love jazz. I love Nina Simone. I love Dolly Parton. I love Linda Ronstadt. I love Slim Dusty. I love a lot of big influences, Archie Roach and Kutch Edwards. I've got all these amazing background influences in my music. And I also love heavy metal and punk and and goth industrial. I love Nine Inch Nails. I love driving rhythm. I think for me, country music tended to be the main genre I kept coming back to because it's such a great storytelling genre. And I love telling a good story. I guess that's in my DNA. So yeah, I think predominantly it comes back to country, blues, rock, because they're probably the genres that suit my voice, suit my guitar playing, suit the harmonica. But I'm not stuck in those. I'm always willing to try new things.
Yeah. And we need more blackfellas in country music. I mean, it's so important. And all of our mob, grew up listening to country music. So
absolutely,
it's a natural progression. And, real deadly to see you flying that flag for mob in country music.
Yeah, just came back from a week playing out in Cunnamulla. I love going out there because you got mob out there, and geez, the Slim Dusty requests were coming in thick. It was
that and Charlie Pride.
Yeah, I had a few of them up my sleeve. Thankfully, that saved my life. They like their country, and I love it. That's why I keep going back out there. And I'm touring currently a lot with Uncle Kutcher Edwards. He is just an amazing performer and songwriter, and just a mentor for me. And I've had the privilege of performing in his band for about 6-7 months now, and and just getting to see the impact of his storytelling music. And it's really impacted me, even just in the way I perform now, just watching him, the way he interacts, the way he tells a story, the way he engages an audience has been really impactful for me too. And I hope that, you know, people like him, our elders, that teach us younger mob those tricks of the trade, then I'm able to pass them on as well to younger mob, because I think watching someone of his caliber perform and be so open in their stories has taught me a lot. So, yeah, and that's really important that we share, because we need more young mob out there performing, especially in country music. Come on, kids, get out there and start listening to
some country. Get off TikTok.
Get off TikTok.
How did that relationship come about with Uncle Kutch? I mean, you know, as you say, he's such a well-regarded, respected elder in music in this country. How did your relationship blossom to a point where you're now a member of his band?
Yeah, it was... funnily enough, I was on, NITV performing at the Saltwater Freshwater Festival about 10 years ago, and they did a little like special on me, and it kept repeating on NITV for some reason. So he had seen me on TV, but he didn't realise it was me, and we did a show together just in 2020 prior to COVID in Tasmania at the Signet Folk Festival, and we were both put on a showcase called Sublime Voices Showcase, and it was Kutch Edwards, myself, and Dwayne Everett Smith, who's an amazing First Nations artist from Tassie.
Yeah.
And we just sort of, we'd be singing and we'd all just felt the call to join in and sing with each other. And next thing you know, we're all crying and the audience is crying. And it was one of those gigs where afterwards I said to my partner, "You better have been filming that." And he was like, "No, I wasn't." So it was just magic. And we introduced ourselves after the show, and I hit it off with his wife, Fiona, beautiful Fiona. She's just a big advocate of mine. And we always thought we'd get together and do some co-writing, but then, you know, a month later or so, COVID struck. And Fiona would just contact me every few months just to touch base, see what I was up to say, yeah, we'd love to co-write. But unfortunately, during that time, she did get sick and we nearly lost her. And Kutcher sort of had to step aside a bit to look after herself and himself. And then when things kind of came good and we could start touring again, they contacted me last year and said, "We're doing a Northern Rivers tour. We'd love to bring you along to like sort of perform as like an opening act." And I said, "Well, if you're going to take me on the tour, is there anything else I can do? Because I feel like, you know, can I sell you merch? Can I do something?" And she said, "Well, we don't really have a bass player. Can you play bass?" And, you know, I used to play 3-chord punk back 20 years ago on bass. So I said, "Well, I can play about 3 notes. I'll give it a go." But that's all you need for his music. It's such a beautiful storytelling music. I think less is more. Yes. So when I started learning his songs, they were just so not simple. They are very intricate songs, but they didn't require... I didn't need to be doing reggae, slap bass or anything. So and once I added some harmonies and some bass, something magical just sort of happened, and it became pretty clear after the tour that we had to keep whatever that magic was alive, and he's just continued to bring me along. And on last week, I got to perform at the Opera House with him for his, Circling Time album, which was just incredible. And when I flew back Sunday, that was my 34th flight in 38 weeks. So that's how many shows I've done with Kutcher since. So he's just such a prolific performer, and he's provided me not only mentoring and support, but just open-hearted support, like where there's no jealousy. If he's seen me because of things he's provided me opportunities, I'm now getting other opportunities. Festivals that saw me perform with him are contacting me, and I'm getting a lot of work. And instead of being sort of restrictive in that, he's so happy. He's so proud when he can ring me and say, "Hey, I've got this other gig opportunity for you." Or, you know, he's just such a wonderful and supportive artist and person, and I'm very privileged to know and perform with him. But yeah, so I've got a lot of my own stuff sort of popping up now, which has been nice after over 20 years in the industry. I'm finally getting on some really cool festivals. And
awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Of course, big week last week for NAIDOC. You know, it's always a big time for our mob. What does it mean for you personally, NAIDOC week, and what did you get up to?
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I was in Melbourne with Uncle Kutch rehearsing and seeing all the shows he gets up to. And then we performed at the Opera House, which was an amazing opportunity for him to tell his stories of being first-hand stories of being Stolen Generation. NAIDOC is always a huge week for me. For years, I go out, I perform, I do songwriting workshops with Young Mob. It's like usually my busiest week of the year. And for me, I do a lot of work in schools with First Nations students. I go around to kindergartens through the Kindy Uplift program, and we always write about what NAIDOC means for them. Yeah. So for me, I get to see firsthand what that means to the young kids, and we write stories and songs about how impactful whatever the theme of NAIDOC is that year for them, and we write about it. And for me, it's just so wonderful to see like, I didn't have anything like that when I was in high school, primary school, back in the 80s and 90s. We didn't sort of get to celebrate NAIDOC. I never got to celebrate my culture or our story. Mm-hmm. And for me now, seeing it just happening more and more, and it's becoming more widely accepted and celebrated, I'm just so proud to see that and be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you have played some amazing festivals, and you also supported some pretty amazing artists over the years as well. What are those experiences like? And can you maybe rattle off perhaps a few of your favourites that you've done?
Yeah. Oh gosh. I sort of look back. I was applying for a showcase recently, and they asked me how many gigs I've played in the last 12 months. And when I actually looked at it, I've played over 160 just in the last year.
Wow.
But God, in the last 15, 20 years, I've performed with everyone from, I opened for Dan Sultan, I've played with Kutcher Edwards, I've performed with Troy Cassidaley, Carol Lloyd, which was such an honour to do a show with her, where we did a show called It Takes Two, and we performed all our favourite hits with Topology as the backing band, so that was a career highlight. Obviously in Nashville I performed with like Geordie Lane, Jen Myers, Felicity Urquhart. God, I've done Gympie Muster, I've done Groundwater Music Festival, Clowntry Music Festival, got everywhere. I can't even name them all. But for me, it's I'm an observer as well. I love watching other performers. I love seeing how they do it, and I get inspired by other people and performing with other people. And for me, it's the most natural thing for me to perform. When I try to sort of step away from music, it always it catches up with me, and I end up, you know, diving back in and tend to try and perform as much as possible. To me, it's just my calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Listening to Let's Talk on AAA Murray Country. My guest today is Sue Ray, the First Nations Music Officer here at Q Music, along with being, of course, an award-winning singer, songwriter, and mother. I forgot to add that at the beginning there. Sorry, Jardums, but you're a mum as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you juggle it all? I mean, living out of Toowoomba as well, you commute in here a few days a week. I mean,
yeah. You
got a lot on your plate.
Yeah, but I don't think I could have it any other way. I've always been, I have ADHD, which is another thing I'm an advocate for raising awareness of. And for me, I think being busy helps me get through a day. If I'm inactive, that's when I start to go down the rabbit hole. But it's just about having clear strategies around how you get things done. I've got great family support with my mum. She lives down the road, so she can watch the kids, and my partner takes them on weekends when I'm off doing gigs, and we just make it work because it's what I love. And I think as a parent, you have to show your kids you doing something you love, because if you're not and they can see you unhappy, I think that is not a good thing for them. I think if your kids can see you thriving and doing something you love, then you pass that on to them.
Mm.
You just make it work, basically, and we find ways. And there's lots of, I think the one consolation of having insomnia is that I don't need a lot of sleep.
Yes.
So that helps.
Yes,
us,
yes.
You know?
Well, we had another muso from Toowoomba on the show recently, in Chloe Terrere.
Yeah, hello, Chloe.
What's going on in Toowoomba? Is the music scene pumping there, or what's doing?
I don't want to begrudge it because, you know, I grew up there, but I left at a young age and moved to Brisbane, so my career was pretty much, I cut my teeth in the Brisbane music scene. But for a few years prior to COVID, it was really starting to pick up. Having lived in Nashville for a few years, I came back and was really missing that nightlife of seeing live music regularly. But sort of just for the 3 years prior to COVID, we built up about three or four really cool venues that allowed for original music, and they were all thriving. And unfortunately, due to COVID, that three of them are closed.
Mm.
And it's just starting to build up now. There's venues like Mouseproof Brewery and a couple of other places that have live music and are having events. They're trying to rebuild that vibe. But unfortunately, at this point in time, there's not a lot of opportunities to cut your teeth as an original artist. There's pubs and clubs where you can play covers, but which is fine. That's an avenue to build your craft and make some money. But for artists like Chloe and myself, I think quite often we do have to leave Toowoomba and head to Brisbane or fly out of there. Luckily now there is an airport in Toowoomba that flies directly to Melbourne, which is what allows me to fly to Melbourne really easily now and do gigs down there. But I'd like to work on it. Maybe that's something we can do together, Dan.
Yeah, we can do that.
Start creating opportunities, especially for young mob. That's a passion of mine. I think now that I'm here, I can hopefully start working on strategies to create performance opportunities in Toowoomba, because I think it's a big enough city. It's a huge city. It's just sort of the music scene's a bit, you know, it's a bit like the movie Footloose.
Yeah, a bit dry.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of working together, we come on board here pretty much the same time. You know, yourself as the First Nations music officer, and here in my role for the period I'm here as Gool Gool cultural lead. What have you found most interesting or surprising about you know, being behind the walls here at Key Music and seeing how, I suppose, the back end of a gigantic music festival works?
Yeah, I feel a little bit like Dorothy, who's seen behind the curtain of the Wizard of Oz. It's sort of, you actually see it's just real people working really, really hard and having to, you know, the passion to create opportunities for everybody. It's been really interesting, like, because when you're just the performer and you apply for these showcases or grants or festivals, you always create in your mind some, you know, villain or someone out there that's, you know, there's nobody helping me. But it's not like that at all. Music industry is really competitive, and it's a small industry in Australia. So there is, you know, we really have to, you know, look to places like Key Music for support. And everyone here is amazingly creative and talented and supportive of artists. And seeing that has been really, really good. And it's made me happy to know that there is a place like Key Music that can provide, you know, support and opportunities for young, you know, emerging artists, and also artists like myself, who I do not class myself as emerging anymore. I love when I get called an emerging artist. I just want to punch someone. But no, it's I've been emerging for 25 years. But for independent artists, I call us indie artists, who are established and have been around a long time, that may not have had, you know, management or label support yet, but we're still valid artists, and to have a place like Key Music that we can turn to still for knowledge and support and industry events where we can gain more knowledge and experience and contacts is really valuable.
One of the first real, I suppose, things you got stuck into here was the inaugural Dennis Mott Conlon Scholarship, and that, of course, went to Dean Brady, but we had the judging, you know, selection panel happen, and all the things that sort of go into doing something like that. But yeah, what was that experience like for you to be the driver, I suppose, of that very first scholarship for young Deanie?
It was really mind-blowing to see how many talented young mob there are that I hadn't heard of yet that are actually out there doing amazing things. It's just so great to see. And it was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to participate in judging, just because the high caliber of every single artist that applied, it took us weeks longer than we thought, because it just was so hard to go through, because you want to give that opportunity to everyone. But the good thing is that you know, seeing someone like Dean get it and know that he will use that grant really, you know, to do amazing things, will inspire other young mob to apply next year, which is what we really want. Because the more of us out there in the music industry showing how deadly we are, the better. You know, we need as many in every genre, you know. And there were so many different genres in the applications that really impressed me. And I just really hope to see them surviving and thriving in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more about how difficult that process was.
It was so hard.
But, you know, massive congratulations to everyone who put in an application, because as you just said, Sue, we took an extra long amount of time to go through it properly.
Nobody could decide. But, yeah.
And we encourage everyone to apply for the next one as well, because, you know, thanks to AAA and Key Music, you know, this is going to be an annual scholarship that's given to, you know, one of our mob to pursue their career in music. Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of financial assistance is really integral, especially young independent artists, because it can be really expensive these days to produce a body of work and get it out there into the world, and, you know, to have just every little bit counts, you know.
Well, the offices are buzzing here lately. I remember when we first started, it was, you know, a couple of desks here and there, but, you know, full house as we lead into Big Sound, which is, of course, the big music conference that happens annually here in the Fortitude Valley. Have you been surprised at how many people are working here and all the things that are going on? Because I'm like, oh, I thought this would be like a crazy little 6 month. This is full on.
It's a lot of moving parts. You just don't realise. Like, when you go to a conference, you just go, you get your delegate pass and your tote bag and off you go. But you don't realise how many moving parts and how many
people. Someone's got to design that tote bag.
Oh, my God. Everything. Like, just, you know, and then the amount of emails. Like, I go, I'm only here a few days a week, and I go away for 2 days and come back, and there's 100 emails in my email. It's just...
So 90 of them are from me.
Yeah. No, so much logistics and, yeah, but it just really has given me a whole new level of respect for everybody that works here at Key Music and... You know, the amount of work that goes into running events. And we need events like Big Sound. I mean, it's the biggest music conference in the Southern Hemisphere. Like, people don't realise it's huge, and it's a really valid, you know, initiative to be able to go and take your music to, you know, learn about your craft, have first-hand conversations with industry people and labels and Spotify and, you know, TikTok and all that stuff. You know, we didn't have that in the 90s when I was a young emerging artist back then. You just had to... gig and hand out flyers in the Queen Street Mall to say come to my gig. And you know, there was none of these like social media and tools and things, and so if you are an emerging artist, things like Big Sound are really integral for you gaining industry knowledge that will get you to that next tier of your career.
What's coming up for the rest of you in 2023 and I suppose further into 2024?
Yeah, oh my gosh, I've got quite a bit. I'm playing a Black Country Night at the Tivoli in August as part of the ECA. I'm playing Van Jam at Willow Bank with, you know, the Radiators. That's and Russell cool Morris and April Aiken and Alicia Louise. And oh my God, the lineup there is amazing. Fanny Lumsden and Frente. And then I get to play with Frente again at, I think it's called Summer Sounds Festival in September.
That's a blast from the past, isn't it, Frente?
Yeah, yeah, I actually had the pleasure of meeting Angie Hart recently and discovered her husband makes an amazing pizza.
Yeah.
But, they're coming back. And so I've got that in September. I potentially have a music festival in Vanuatu that we're just waiting for confirmation, like a First Nations festival. Really busy. Got another one in October, April Aiken and runs a blues event up in Bundaberg. I can't remember the specific name, but yeah, really busy. I look at my schedule and just kind of go, wow, okay, things are picking up. And I just released a new single called Same Train about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months. I can't remember. This year's gone so fast. So promoting that and have another single coming out in another couple of months. And yeah, just busy and new music and Big Sound. Oh my gosh. And then Valley Fiesta. And
It's non-stop, man.
Yeah.
Well, Sue, thank you so much for your time. I should have let you go back to work because you're doing contracts today, which is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, you're really fun.
All right. And that is our show for another week. Thank you very much for your company. Remember, you can catch up on past episodes at our website, aaa.org.au.
No more whispering in our mind.
Let's talk Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. on AAA Murray Country, the National Indigenous Radio Service and iHeartRadio. You can catch up on aaa.org.au, proudly supported by the Community Broadcast Foundation.